Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
Well, here we are with Blog Talk Radio on another Tuesday night, and our guest, I've got something going on here with my studio. Doesn't look right. Alex, can you talk to me? Yeah, I was afraid of that. I lost you. So I'm gonna dial you again if you can hear me. So hang up and let's give it a shot one more time. See what happens here. Oh, it's not wanting to do that. So here we go. Cancel. Hang on. I don't know what happens here. Don't go away. Okay.
You got me?
I got you now. I don't know. That was weird. I don't know what happened.
Barry, I could hear you the whole time. I could hear you. So.
Yeah, you weren't set up properly on my screen here, so I couldn't do anything. Okay, here we are. Well. Everybody, I want you to welcome back to Blog Talk Radio our good friend Alex Klein. And Alex is on the board of The Catch. He is our representative millennial, and he is just a brilliant person and someone who knows a lot about the internet and has worked in the security, a lot of internet security. He was the first one to tell me about the Russians before I ever heard it from anybody else. So he's probably got some new things to tell us tonight that we don't know about yet. But we really want to hear from our friend Alex a lot about what he's thinking about the world. What does it look like to him about the, and we want to hear about the future. We want to hear about also what he's sensing from millennials, from his friends. What's the general mood of the day, and how do we feel about life and about, especially about the country. So Alex, here we are. We got a lot to talk about. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio.
Appreciate it, John. I don't even, yeah, these days it's like, where do you begin? But with millennials, I would say a lot of us kind of have, it's almost like a consensus of consolidation, I would say. A lot of people, whether you're liberal or more conservative, I think we could all agree that the world feels like there's a lot of consolidation of power right now. Maybe not in the actual like American politics, but if you just look at the world and geopolitics and how borders are being, let's say, tested, you know, between India and China, the South Asian Sea, there's still stuff going on with Russia and Ukraine. We have a lot of activity just checkerboarded around. So, yeah, I mean, I could, without getting into the political aisle of things or the spectrum of things, I would say that most of my friends, we all talk about how it seems like there's a big transition, or the bigger countries are really reigning in their power. Even like look at China consolidating Hong Kong. So with the virus and the effects of the virus and the amount of, I mean, we haven't stopped with the false information. When I was on here last, I was talking about a lot of false information and stuff that was going to be propagated on the internet. And that hasn't changed. In fact, we have more than ever.
And how on earth do we tell?
Yeah, that's tough. Well, the internet is so mechanized for advertising and marketing and profits that a lot of these platforms are incentivized to kind of give you a feedback loop or a echo chamber. So these bots end up playing into the greed of these companies. So you really have to just, like, you know, do the old fashioned thing. Trust the people in your immediate circle and bounce information off each other. Discourse is good. It's nice to disagree with your friends and talk about things amongst each other, but that takes bravery and a good friendship. Right now, it's tougher than ever to have political discourse. So you really got to be close with somebody.
Yeah. Oh boy. Did you put your finger on it right there? What do you think that's easier among? I have this feeling that a lot of this polarization and divisiveness that we sense politically and other ways in our country, conservatives, liberals, all of that, I have a feeling that's more with boomers and with older people than people with your age. Is that true, or is it just as bad among younger folks? What do you think?
I wish I could say that the grass is greener on the other side and I could blame the boomers, but honestly, it is the same problem right now because of the internet. I would honestly wager that the internet is the biggest variable in this and destabilizing consensus while also giving us all the information.
Boy, Alex, what do we do about this? I mean, you know, do you at some point do you just shut it down, or are you just, you know, turn off your phone and talk to your friends?
Well, I think opinion journalism is also something that we should eventually address, but now this is far past the point of opinion journalism. There was the Fair Communications Act where people were supposed to give us unbiased news, but that was it was before my time, but I've done my homework, and I think that these are not really outlandish proposals. Like, it would be good for us to have people who understand that you know, adding gasoline or pouring gasoline to the fire and fanning the flames of partisanship versus trying to deliver a accurate two-sided point. Now, again, at this point, it's so hard to imagine that. It seems almost like a fairy tale. But again, just giving that example of one piece of legislation, there was some form of checks and balances so that corporations and news outlets, which, you know, are also consolidated, there's only a handful of companies that control all of them, they wouldn't be allowed to just play into that echo chamber so much. And I think it's up to us to really, you know, support the same thing. Now, there are definitely outlets that are far more abusive of that pattern than others. We could all agree on that. But ultimately, it's up to us to just be the better person and just say, hey, we need to really understand where there might be some agendas in all of our news. And recognize where they may be, even if we think that we're on the right side. You know what I mean? And that's just something that I can say from sitting amongst a lot of debates and arguments between all of my friends. And again, I haven't looked at things from a very just like moderate or middle ground because of the security aspect of things. And I'm always just like, well, how would I look at things if I was just trying to protect my borders and my country in the digital domain of our like thought, and how reactive we can be right now? And so The main thing is we have to really, really, really be on ourselves to just maintain the idea that there may be an agenda being pushed out to us, even from an outlet that we like and we trust. And that's just the name of the game right now, until there's better checks and balances to prevent corporations and Google and Facebook from making money off advertising to what we want, you know, and our confirmation bias.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's it. I just think a little bit of diligence and just the same thing, just really double down on our communities. We need to be focused on our local communities more than ever. Same with politics. Local politics is the best thing we could do.
Hmm. Talk about that some more. When you say local, what do you mean? Are we talking about Laguna Beach City Council or, you know, where is it at?
If it scales up, I mean, it can be your local neighborhood. It can be your community. It can be your city. It can then be your county. You know, if you feel disenfranchised by your environment that you're in every day, or you don't feel as connected to your community, the best thing you could do is just get involved with your surroundings and build the power base for yourself immediately around you and really reinvest into your immediate surroundings. And then you'll see the effects that you would crave versus trying to scale it and think of, like, you know, state issues or national issues without a firm set of momentum, basically. It's kind of like going grassroots, but, like, it really works for just any sort of direct action, political type of, you know, involvement and engagement that you could possibly think of. Just think about your 7x7 or your 10x10 city radius. There's plenty of issues that are directly affecting you, more than likely, with the small businesses, with the local population. There may be a park that you visit that could use some renovation, something that you could get involved and organize if you want to feel change that will affect you too. And that's kind of the route that I've put, is that I feel so out of control with national and political things that I've just tried to sustain my presence in the small local communities, but that's afforded me a litmus to the best of your ability and to your safety too. The pandemic made it very difficult, but I'm talking about practices post our last talk, even pre-pandemic. Really get involved with my local community. That way I also have a strong litmus as to what our social consensus can be. Because it's, you know, there's a lot that I haven't agreed with, but it's good to know what your neighbors are thinking and who your neighbors are, where you all stand on things. It creates a firmer foundation to counter any external information.
What would you say the general mood of your friends and millennials in terms of the future? Are people, would you say they're generally pessimistic, or are they more optimistic, or where are we at? How would you? I know that's a big
That's a huge one. I would say that, you know, there's a good handful that are vocally pessimistic, and that might drown out the others who are kind of focused. And just, I think that there's a sort of digital discipline and, like, digital hygiene and all sorts, just like the diet movement. There's a very big movement on, like, mitigating the amount of influence these little devices have on us. So with that in mind, I would say that there is an unvocal, not minority or majority, I can't put my finger on it yet, but there's an unvocal aspect, or we're only seeing, like, a tip of the iceberg with my generation. I think there are so many of them that are actually active and hustling and trying to balance, having grown up with so much of this technology and also the transition of analog to digital. But because of the circumstances of, you know, having to work a little bit harder, they may not be as forthright in the general discussion or the discourse. Like, there may be, you know, the trolling of the comments, but, like, I couldn't say that it would be, we're getting the greatest respect to the existential feelings of my generation. Just my core group of friends, most of them believe that there is a big transition happening again. And like I said, I would just say it's consolidation of power. With the planet, everybody I know who really kind of looks at the issues doesn't believe that it's over yet. It's very egotistical to think that humanity could destroy a multiple billion year old planet. We could kill ourselves off for sure. We're very good at that. I don't know if we could destroy the planet. We may help it evolve us away. But yeah, there's so much that we could do, again, like the Fair Communications Act that was just right there in front of us, that if we just go back and start adding those checks and balances, we'd be surprised how far it will go. And, you know, China is rapidly deploying their checks and balances. It's very impressive to have watched this latest cryptocurrency ban from them. They've done this like 12, 13 times in the last 5 years, but this time it was serious, and they have really shut down a rather wasteful practice called proof of work, or crypto mining in the general layman terms. They've shut that down across the whole country because it's now time to really, really respect going carbon zero. Or, you know, carbon neutral, and try to really depreciate it. And yeah, so I'm actually, the more I pay attention, you know, I'm rather hopeful, but I just also am cautious because, you know, this is growing pains, and it's unfortunate that a government that doesn't exactly afford its citizens the most rights or democracies has exercised its authoritarian regime and gotten results. So it's like, that's not exactly good. But the results that they're attaining right now are for the agenda of reducing the amount of destruction work we're having for our planet and removing the citizens' social control of an outside currency. Those two go hand in hand. So... yes, so very interesting time.
You're saying that is somewhat of a good thing. Is that what you're saying?
It's a double-edged sword. It's like it's a bad thing for, it seems like for social liberties, that's a failure on multiple spectrums, and then in part of like the core agenda, which is where we need to start looking at everything. They're not saying that they're going to ban all cryptocurrency. There are certain very, very wasteful practices that some of the bigger cryptocurrencies have. And those were first movers. You know, it's been 11, 12 years now of the technology. So there's far greater iterations. Anyways, getting away from that, the point is that I think governments around the world are really starting to pay attention. Saudi Arabia said that they're trying to get off oil by 2030 originally, and now it's been slated back to like 2025, 26. That's incredible. It's been an oil empire.
Yeah, right.
So I'd say that we have a lot of things to be hopeful for, and my friends who are like me who keep their fingers on the pulse, this is the stuff that we're paying attention to, but like, you still have to be careful because these are different regimes that are going to do everything they can to hold on to power. But that's all.
This the consolidation of power you're talking about, that's very interesting to me. And that, of course, let's talk about how that's happening here in America. And is that ultimately what is could destroy a democracy?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's so many things that are very difficult to tread. You know, when we talk about encryption, right, and people's right to digital privacy, that's a really big discussion that has been weaponized, and they're saying that they're trying to prevent, you know, online predators, they're trying to prevent terrorists and all this stuff. But what that really also represents is a fundamental just disillusion, like a disillusion of the right to communicate and the right to have privacy as far as our Constitution would interpret it, for not just the American borders, but the rest of the borders of the world, especially in relation to how we perceive it. And so just on that aspect alone, which is not a very polarized debate, I mean, both sides of the aisle are kind of pursuing anti-encryption laws very, very quietly. Hmm. I would really, really stress for people to just think that it is greater than you having the ability to do private browsing on the internet. You know, there are a lot of people who have to go through great lengths to communicate outside of this country, where we are a very, very flexible and awesome democracy. And they're communicating in environments that are completely unholy for civil and domestic rights. And so when we do things like that, the rest of the world follows suit, and it only gives those regimes even more power to flex basically their authority and be unchallenged. And so we have to really pay attention still, as our democracy is a model, or our legislation is a model. Not always. The Europeans hold, you know, are pretty hip, especially in tech. But that's what I'm saying, and how it would ripple out. It's like, once we stop looking at encryption as being a big deal, then the rest of the world will start really policing its citizens too. So I'm not so worried, again, as how it would affect the American democracy. I think that we've got an incredible history with decentralization. But as far as what that might ripple out to some of our other centralized and authoritarian regimes, I don't know.
Yeah.
If the precedent is allowed to be set, it could be bad.
I'm reading a book right now, Alex, by a history prof at Wheaton College, where I went to college, in Illinois. It's called We the People, it's called We the Fallen People. And what he's trying to point out is that the beauty and the strength of democracy in the beginning was the fact that the founding fathers really did want to put the point of the checks and balances was to keep sinful people from getting control. I mean, basically, it was a realization that we are fallen people, and that we can't, there has to be some sense of control or at least checks and balances against somebody getting control and using it for the wrong reason. And and that's really what has made, you know, I think one of the things that's made America great. And yet it seems like today we're losing that. We're instead of having two parties that go for consensus, we have two parties that are simply fighting each other. That's it. And it's, you're either 100% right or you're 100% wrong. And there doesn't seem to be places to meet. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here, but do you feel like this is going on too, and that there's any hope for us getting back to consensus is all about?
Yeah, I totally agree with your thoughts. I think that, you know, it's felt like my friends put it as the wrestling worldwide, it was like WWE or WWF wrestling. You know, you have these characters that you're supposed to root for that are a certain agenda or flag or stereotype within the now political spectrum. And we have a bunch of, you know, reaction politics that also you have to remember is being preyed upon by marketing groups who want hits or clicks for whatever brand they're capitalizing off of outrage culture from. And it's creating a very interesting dynamic for us here in America. As far as hope goes, I mean, I'm probably one of the most cheerful and progressive, hopeful types that in my group. I'm always looking towards the future. And I think that, again, we're so better equipped than most to handle these type of pressures because we're still kind of infantile country. We just have to look at our neighbors and not be so arrogant as to assume that we couldn't fall into the same pattern just based on human history. Now, again, going back to America's decentralization and what you're talking about with the fathers and how brilliant the design of the country is, I think one of our greatest tests we had was dealing with a transitional election during this pandemic and the fact that that didn't descend despite everyone assuming that it would. We had one big event that I was concerned would occur. Mm-hmm. And now as we move forward, we have to address these concerns, but also not go in the vein of the 9/11 approach where we double down on hardened anti-privacy and anti, you know, civil liberties, and then become even more draconian from where we were already. And that's the thing that people have to be delicate in moving forward, because we still have to embrace the fact of what occurred. But I would speaking...
You're talking about January
6th. January 6th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Capital insurrection. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so the problem is that every word is so polarized now, so I just prefer to avoid, you know, getting to those points without having to. But the thing is that I was so concerned that worse was going to happen. And the fact that we managed to do a regime change and during historically unprecedented times to me is just another thing to just be proud of. That's all. Even though it's such a little victory, I think that our democracy really reflected itself during the entire, it wasn't a perfect and idealistic display, but we still have had a pretty good run with it compared to other countries.
That's true. That's true. I think you're right. I think there is cause for hope. Well, God, this went too fast. It always does. But give me some sense. What would you say if you could take the spiritual temperature of your generation? You know, where are people at? Would you say that there is a spiritual reality that people are seeking? Are they hungry, or are we just kind of avoiding even thinking along those lines?
Oh no, it's very much more intuitive feeler type for sure. Everybody is, I think, as a whole, it's very, very accepted in the common, you know, lexicon. I don't know for your generation, but in my generation, you could be of any walk of life and say that you felt a weird vibe from somebody, and that's just a normal thing. And people react to energy, and there's definitely a closeness to spirituality and faith too. I mean, people are demonstrating great examples of blending the two and demonstrating them. So I think that as far as that goes, and as far as social issues that may have challenged us 40 years ago that we don't even, or longer, 40, 60 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, we don't even consider, we're always, you know, getting better. It's just that we, as we get better, we recognize that we have more to do, and that's, it's part of the growing pain, the evolution. But I think that we're now maturing as a species again, with, as we have this technology and we're aware of what's happening every single little square inch of this planet. And we're now having to recognize what's in front of us. And I think that that's fine. We've been able to do this so many times before with much less going for us. Now we have plenty of opportunity.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Alex, it's always fun talking to you. Thank you for your perspective and your time. And we gotta get some more time together. It's been too long.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, God bless. Thank you so much for your thoughts. And we'll talk to you again in next time. And God, I'm hopeful. I was worried that we were going to end up with this half hour going, oh my God, it's almost over. No, but I appreciate your perspective. Always have.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it's hard when you've got all the connections and all the possibilities right now, and
you see
what's
being done with people who have
just, I mean, you look at some, if you want to feel hope, look at some of these entrepreneurs that are coming out of, you know, parts of India,
parts of Africa, South Asia, that have just recently gotten their hands on the internet or engaged with technology to where they can really, really hone in on their own self-discipline and self-education and what these people are coming up with. And then you just then scale it back to your community. Look at what the local kids are coming up with. Look at what people in your neighborhood are doing. There's a lot of great stuff happening. It's just that
there's a lot of incentive to
get your eyeballs and get those clicks.
And so outrage and
reaction and fear is selling.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex, thank you.
Thank you
so much for time. God bless.
Take care, man. God bless.
Yeah. Woo. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, everybody. Went by fast. I knew it would. Local. I like that. Get local. Your neighborhood. Your community. I like that. That's what I heard today. Hang with us. Success. Blog Talk Radio. Come back next week. We love you guys. Come back and hear some more. Always encouraging. God bless.